This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Well, it's a great pleasure to welcome my fellow countrywoman onto the podcast. I don't get to chat to too many South Africans, but I love doing it because we've got lots in common, and I just feel a sort of common connection with South Africans. And as we're recording this, for the rest of our international audience, just so that you are aware, as we speak in South Africa, we're dealing with massive, massive electrical, they're calling them load shedding, but there's nothing, load shedding sounds like you've got too much, so you're getting rid of some. We don't have enough electricity, so it's literally rolling blackouts, and we've both just come out of the second one for the day, and there's another one coming later, so hopefully we can get through this without the lights going off. Eulalie Goos, welcome onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you so much for having me.
Eulalie, the struggle is real, as South Africans, as they say. It's one of the joys of living in this amazing place, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. I mean, now you don't just check your training peaks for what you have to do training-wise. You check your load shedding schedule to see if you can actually do it.
Yeah, it's a different level of struggle, that's for sure. And I guess it's one of the, everyone has their challenges, and this is one of the challenges we need to deal with as South Africans, I guess. I'm pretty biased. I say we live in the most beautiful country in the world, and this is one of the downsides of living in one of the most beautiful countries in the world.
Everything has to have a negative as well.
Absolutely. Eulalie, let's dig into your story. Kona last year was your first race on the Big Island. It went pretty well. Top 15 finish for you, which I'm guessing you chuffed with. I mean, that's an amazing performance first time out. And let's take a step back, though. Where did this whole triathlon thing start for you?
So I started doing triathlon about 6 years ago, and then I did my first Ironman in 2016. So I was lucky enough to qualify for Kona only on my third attempt at the Ironman distance.
Awesome.
And loving triathlon. I'm currently in hectic training for Port Elizabeth. That's in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, just about to start dip down, I'm sure. It's almost taper time. That's, for me, my favorite part of Ironman training is the last couple of weeks before race day.
Absolutely. This coming week will be the last hard week, and then it's 2 weeks of taper, which will almost feel like holiday.
Yeah, I'm built for tapering. That's I think the only reason I do this sport is to be able to taper. But prior to triathlon, I mean, what sort of, do you come from a sporting background, or is this sort of just sprung up sort of thing?
I've always been running. So I've been running since school, always been an athlete, track athlete, cross country, all types of running, and then 1 year I just decided I'm going to buy a bike and do the 94.7, which is a big cycle race here in Joburg. Did that and thought, no, I'm pretty good at the cycling thing. And then I decided half Ironman, that's what I'm going to do. But the only problem was I couldn't swim. That's why I think all my competitors also know I'm not the best swimmer. So I've been working on my swimming for the last 5 years constantly to try and improve.
I love that. Eulalie, you talk about coming from a running background. Anybody who runs in South Africa would know about the Comrades Marathon. I have to ask the question, has that been on the radar at all?
It's definitely on the radar, not yet. Me and my coach said we'll do it the year we turn 40. So I'll save that one for a bit later, but I believe anybody that can run in South Africa should do the Comrades.
Yeah, I was going to say,
that it's just spectacular.
I was going to say, save that for when you're old and slow. There's no rush. The race is going nowhere. It is an incredible race to do. But yeah, if it's not on your immediate radar, don't do it. It's definitely going to slow you down. The entry into triathlon as a sport, I mean, South Africans are sporting mad in general, and there's a massive upsurge in triathlon. It's an amazing sport, but it's difficult, and I think this is a global thing too. It's expensive. It's not a cheap sport. How have you found your sort of transition into the sport from running into doing three sports?
Sure. Like I'm a training fanatic. So I actually love triathlon because it's not the same thing every day. I mean, the one day you swim and you bike, and then the next day you run and you maybe run again, and then the next day you swim again. So I absolutely love the diversity. I mean, we do other gym work in between. It was actually quite easy for me and quite nice for me to do a bit of cross training because the running got quite tough. You know, that's, I think, also the thing with, if you're planning on running the Comrades Marathon, you're just running every day, running, running, running. Whereas I find my days quite nice. I mean, going out for a run and then maybe doing a swim later. Or if you don't feel like doing anything, just grab your pool boy and go swim. And, you get some good training done.
As far as getting the balance right, you work full time. It's not easy. And in a city like Johannesburg, there's traffic. So I'm guessing you do sit in a bit of traffic as well. And it's difficult to get that sort of work-life juggle right. How do you deal with it? What are some of your ways to make sure you get the sessions in you need to get in and do the work you need to do at work and don't fall asleep under your desk in your lunch hour, for instance?
That's a very, very good question. So I do get up very early. I do a lot of biking indoors. I only ride actually outdoors on a Saturday with a group. So a lot of indoor sessions, a lot of early starts, and then obviously getting to bed early because my work day starts just after 7 and I only finish after 4. So, and then I usually go and do another training session either in the gym or back here at home.
And that doesn't include any naps at the office either. That's a full day's work.
No naps. No, unfortunately, they don't allow that yet.
That's why I work for myself. I can have an afternoon nap if I need to, which does happen quite often. Have you found the triathlon things come quite easy to you? Has it been a steep learning curve, or have you found, like, you know, I feel like I'm home and I'm comfortable here?
Sure. I felt so comfortable. So my first ever race was a race in Bella Bella, the 5150 there.
That's the only, if I can jump in there, that's the only swim in the world where you can actually walk.
You know what, Brad? You just took the words out of my mouth.
just so people know, let me explain this race. It's actually, I mean, it's awesome. I've actually announced at that race. I love that race, but the swim is in one of those cable water skiing. It's a man-made thing, and it's the shape of a donut, if you can think of a donut. So there's a little island in the middle, and you swim, and I think you have to do 2 laps. So if you actually start with one of the later swim waves, it's quite nice because there's a bit of a current. You don't even have to swim. You just float, and you'll finish. And it's not that deep. You can actually stand up in it. And, yeah, if you get tired, you just take a walk.
Exactly, and I mean, I'm female, so we always the last wave. So by the time we get in, there's a proper current from all the men. And I must say, cause I'm not from a swimming background at all. I mean, my primary school didn't even have a pool. I walked most of that swim. Yes.
and as they say, the bug is bitten. I mean, it's 6 years later and you've been to the world champs in Kona. It's been an incredible journey, hasn't it?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I've just been so comfortable with triathlon. It just clicked with me. I just love it. The biggest thing I could do for my triathlon was getting a coach and joining a tri group. And that just put me into another level and gave me the edge to start winning my age group here in South Africa.
How soon after starting did you join or get a coach, Yulali? Was it fairly soon, or did you take a season or two before warming up to the idea?
No, it took a season or two. I actually did my first Ironman without any coaching, you know, just self-coaching. Did one of those where you download a program from the internet and you make the most of it. So only at the end of 2016, I actually got a coach and started training very specifically and focusing on my weaknesses and my strengths.
Why Ironman? And the reason I ask that question is you talk about the 5150, and we've got two 70.3s in South Africa. There's a couple of other independent sort of race organizers who do half Ironman events, but there's obviously the African champs. What's the attraction to the long one?
So, you know where they say some people has got petrol engines, some got diesel engines. So I'm more of a diesel engine. So I don't know if it comes with age, but it takes a while to warm up. And once I'm warmed up, I can keep on going forever. So riding 180K just comes so easily for me, and the marathon is really something I love. So it was just I can't go fast, but I can go on forever. So I tend to outrun, you know, my competitors, because they keep they slow down, and I can just keep on going. So like one guy I train with, he says Ironman is not about how fast you go. It's about who slows down the least. So I'm one of those that just, I can sit into a pace and keep at that pace forever.
And I love that. And I'm sure as much as you joke about your swim being your weakest and it's frustrating, I'm sure if I gave you the choice, you would take it the way it is, as opposed to me saying, you know what, I'll give you, you can be the first out of the water, but I'm going to take that strength of your runaway. I'm sure you'd say it's cool. I'm happy with the way things are.
Yeah. Perfectly happy with the way things are, because you know what, you can't win a triathlon on the swim. So if you're just there more or less, then you can outrun anyone.
Yeah, Eulalie, it's interesting you say that, because I hear from a lot of age groupers who are super frustrated with their swim because they started swimming as adults. They just feel like they're always fighting the water. And as much as you need to work on that swim, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, that it's, you know what, it's a work in progress, and we realize that. But the other two disciplines are actually where it's won or lost. And you can, it's getting harder and harder to qualify for a race like Kona, being a weak swimmer, but it is possible, as opposed to being a very weak runner and strong on the swim and the bike. You've got a better chance if you're a weak swimmer.
Absolutely. If you're a strong biker and a strong runner, triathlon is absolutely for you. Because I know a lot of guys that's such strong swimmers, and they come out of the water first, and then it's like people just overtake them. And I must say, there's a mental thing about people overtaking you in a race. You just feel like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. Whereas you are overtaking people coming from behind, overtaking them. There's really a confidence booster there that I think I get from racing.
Yeah, it's a massive psychological thing. And I know, I speak from experience, because my swim out of the three, I'm probably pretty even, Stephen. My swim's probably one of my stronger, and I just feel like I'm going backwards. Even if I'm going well on the bike or well on the run, I just feel like I'm going backwards the whole day, as opposed to the other way around, where it's such a confidence booster, where you're passing everybody on the last lap of the run, for example, than everybody passing you. Let's talk about you're going from Ironman South Africa and deciding to get a coach to going, you know what, I want to go to Kona. I always joke on this podcast that if you had to drill a hole from where we are in South Africa right through the core of the earth to the other end, the closest landmass is going to be Kona. We are literally on the opposite end of the earth. So to go to Kona is a massive commitment. It's a long way to go. What's the attraction for you? What made you want to go?
I think anybody that does the Ironman, it's a dream to go to Kona. I mean, it's the world champs. It's the best of the best. It was like when the half Ironman world champs was here in South Africa last year. Everybody wanted to go. There's just something about a world champs event that makes it so special. And I mean, going to Kona, all the pro triathletes are there. If you're a triathlete fanatic, that's the place to be. I can't even describe the Ironman village. I mean, it's just Ironman everywhere. The expo is actually a whole street long. There's things you can shop forever. It goes on forever and ever, and it was the most amazing experience. Yes, for us South Africans, it's very far to travel. I mean, it's literally a 12-hour time difference. I got up in the morning when my friends here went to bed, so you can't really chat to anyone because you're in such different time zones. but the whole experience, just being there, training there. We went 2 weeks before the race, training there. It's something that you can't describe. You have to see it for yourself.
As far as the build-up to it too, I mean, we're coming out of our winter. I've trained for an Ironman through at Joburg winter, funnily enough, as well. It's not easy. How did you deal with that? I mean, I think it's a massive disadvantage coming from here, and that's where I see South Africans who do really well there. It's amazing because they're coming out of pretty cold conditions, having to travel really far, literally the other side of the world, and to deal with it, the time changes and the total difference in climate. How did you deal with that, Yulali? Was it a challenge, or did you find it came pretty easily?
No, it was a big challenge. I mean, flying for 33 hours, you get to Kona, you're swollen. There's nothing, even wearing your compression socks, there's water retention. It's actually so difficult. And then training, as you said, training through, especially in Joburg. I mean, I'm sure if you were in Durban, which is at the coast, it's easier because there it's hot. But yeah, what I did is, if I was on my indoor trainer, I would, and it's probably torturing yourself, but not open any windows, make the room as hot as possible. And then not using my fan. I must say I'm back to using my fan now, but not using your fan at all. My long runs, I started like at 12 midday on a Sunday, do them in the heat of the day just to get some heat training in. And then obviously swimming was a challenge because you can't even attempt the dams here without a wetsuit in the winter. You will freeze. So the swimming was quite challenging because you know Kona is not a wetsuit swim. So that I had to do in a pool. But once I got to Kona, we actually went swimming on the course every day, and it's quite nice because the daunting thing is no wetsuit, mass start, everything you're not used to anymore, yeah, because we've got this nice rolling starts now of all our races, which I absolutely love.
Yeah, I actually want to talk to you from someone who's not the strongest of swimmers. How did you cope with that in Kona? I mean, those are two things. The wetsuit is a big one, but that mass start is. I mean, when I started in my triathlon career, I quite liked them. I'm a big guy, and I used to play rugby, so I don't mind the odd kick and punch. But it's not that way anymore, except in a race like Kona. It's a big adjustment, isn't it?
Absolutely. We spoke about the Bella Bella 5150. That's actually still a mass start. But when I did my first half Ironman in East London, it was also a mass start. So at least I have done the mass start thing before. You know what? It's a lot in your mind as well. So I just decided, you know what? You swim, you fight for your spot, you go. I must say the women are less aggressive than the men. I've heard some horror stories from the men's starts where they really hit each other. The women are more apologetic. I've had so many apologies from women while swimming saying, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, because they hit you in the face or something, yeah.
Yeah.
It was not that bad.
All right. Yeah, it's a different beast in the men's age groups. That's for sure. Talk to me a little bit about what you still hope to achieve. I mean, you've been now, top 15 finish. I'm taking it. You're fairly competitive and you'd like to go better, but it's a long way to go. You probably need to sell a kidney, or a limb to get there. It's not the cheapest of trips from South Africa. Is the plan to go back?
Yes, the plan is definitely to go back. It's actually, my goal is 2020, so next year. This year I won't be going. I've actually signed up for Ironman Barcelona, which is also in October. I think it's the week before Kona. And there you can qualify for 2020. So I'm giving myself two chances. If it doesn't happen in Spain, then I'll be back at PE next year again to try and get a spot to go back to Kona, because a top five is really what I aim for at Kona. I also want one of those fruit balls, the umekis. That is that is the goal. Yes.
Barcelona is an interesting one, and that thinking of going a race that's a qualifier for the following year around Kona this year. Talk to me a little bit about that. I think there are lots of people who have that sort of, and I don't want to say marginal qualifiers, but I think a lot of people think that way, that all the top contenders are going to be at Kona. You know what, let's pick a race. Do you think it's going to be tougher or easier to qualify at a race like that than at an African Champs, for example, in Port Elizabeth?
I think actually it's going to be tougher, because the thing with African Champs is there's so many Kona slots. I think there's 70 or 80 slots, whereas Barcelona would just be a normal race with 40 slots. So it's there for, especially for women, it's either win your age group to get a slot or you don't get a slot, because usually they only have one slot. And I think the start lists are already out and we like 20 in my age group. So it's either win, it's all or nothing. Yeah.
Level of competition at championship races has increased a hell of a lot as well. And with Nelson Mandela Bay being African champs, have you found that over the years that it's becoming harder and harder to get those age group positions, not necessarily just to qualify for Kona, but to win your age group or to podium in your age group at a championship race as opposed to a non-championship like a Barcelona, for example?
Absolutely, Brad. I mean, the foreigners stream here to PE. Firstly, it's cheap, and there's so many slots. We made a lot of friends there in Kona with some of the British guys, and they all qualified in PE. And we said, you're coming here taking all our slots, because they can't get slots in the UK. So, I mean, you look at the start list these days for PE, and half of them there is foreigners. And it makes it so much more difficult for us South Africans. Firstly, because going anywhere in the world, never mind Kona, is expensive for us. So now if they come here and they take our slots in PE, so it's just been, it's, you know, not even if your goal is to go to Kona, just the podium position, it's getting so much tougher than it used to be.
Yeah, it's an amazing, I mean, it's a long way to come. We talk about going to Kona being far, but coming to South Africa for most people, I mean, if you're in Europe, it's an overnight flight, but anywhere else, if you're coming from the States or if you're coming from Australia, it is definitely a long way, but there are advantages. You mentioned it being so cheap. I mean, the ticket prices are expensive, but when you take the rand dollar exchange rate into account, it's probably one of the best value for money holiday destinations you'll ever find. So I think that's one of the big attractions too. And I think a lot of people realize that with 70.3 Worlds last year, is that a long way to come, but what a great place. I mean, the photos, I'm still seeing photos popping up on my timelines across the various social media platforms of safaris in Addo Elephant Park. And yeah, if it's on your bucket list, this is a shameless plug for South Africa. If it's on your bucket list to do a destination race, I think Ironman South Africa's got to be one of them. I mean, the vibe at that race is just something else, isn't it? It's probably one of the things that gets you going back every year.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love, that's one of my favorite, between all the races in South Africa, that's my favorite. Because the whole town, that Summerstrand, it just, they all buy into the race. And it's a beautiful little place to be, and everybody is close, and you can walk everywhere. You actually just need to get to the airport, and you can Uber to your B&B, and then you're there, and you can cycle on the course, and you can swim there at Hobie Beach, and it's just beautiful. It's definitely my favorite Ironman race in South Africa.
Yeah, and crowd support on, especially on that marathon, is just incredible. I absolutely love it. It's probably my favorite marathon I've run a few standalone marathons, but just from a crowd support perspective, that crowd support on the marathon is, I mean, I get goosebumps just thinking about it.
Absolutely. There's people at every step of that course. It doesn't matter where you are, there's always somebody there shouting, supporting. It's amazing. And we always go back for the finish line at 12 to support the last people that finish. Because I think, you know, doing the race in 10 and a half hours, you can go home, you can shower, you can have a nice dinner. And then there's those people it takes 16, 17 hours. That's a long day. I take my hats off to them. I mean,
Eulalie, some of us are those people.
They must be there.
I've got a 16-hour Ironman, so yeah, it's definitely, I know what that's like. It's not fun with the glow sticks at night. That's for sure.
Exactly. Yes. that was one of my goals in Kona. Never mind getting a top spot. I was aiming for top 20, but it was also being a daylight finisher. Because that's also a big thing in Kona, being a daylight finisher.
I tried that in Zurich a couple of years ago. Obviously, it gets darker a lot later. I thought, you know what? Here's my chance of finishing in the daylight, is going to Ironman Zurich. It didn't work. I can tell you, I still finished in the dark, unfortunately. Yeah, it's starting to sound a bit like an infomercial for Ironman South Africa. So Paul Wolf and Keith Bowler better send the check now that we've advertised their race so much. But yeah, it is definitely a race that must be done. Other than Barcelona, what are some of the long-term plans in the sport? I mean, you mentioned Kona podium, but is it a case of racing age group as long as you can until you're 80 and long in the tooth? You're still going to be doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I saw if I just keep on going and I can maybe win maybe one day the 60 to 64, you know. If I don't get a first place now, I might get it when I'm older.
They're getting faster and faster, Eulalie. It's getting harder and harder.
Exactly. No, I've got no intentions of racing anything other than just age group. Yeah.
I love it. Well, Eulalie, it's been great catching up. Thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Air. I look forward to talking about the individual disciplines, but we'll save that for next time. If you've enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.